Heavenly Father, your Son, the Lord Jesus, taught his disciples how to pray. And we pray that through Vijay, you would today teach us how to pray. We know how slow we are to pray, and how inadequate our prayers are when we do pray. So we ask for your help and your Holy Spirit to teach and empower us. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Vijay.
If you're feeling hot, do take your coats off, and I'm going to take mine, because it's quite warm in here. Not used to this Indian summer. Now, a bishop was at a confirmation service in an Anglican church. So the vicar invited him for a tea before the service. And the vicar wanted to impress the bishop, so he asked his 7-year-old daughter to say grace before tea time, just before the tea. And you know, children, they let us down, isn't it, in these occasions. And Alison said, so the vicar turned to Alison and said, don't be shy, just thank the Lord for the food. So Alison whispered, I don't know what to say. So the vicar whispered back, just say what the mummy said this morning at lunchtime. She bowed her head and said, oh Lord, why do you have to bring this wretched bishop for tea this afternoon? Well, some people find it hard to say even grace, let alone pray aloud in public. Now, last Tuesday, Chris Stephen spoke on the principles of prayer, the theory. Today we are turning from the sublime to the ridiculous. The practice of prayer, how to do it. And we're going to concentrate on three areas of prayer life. Now, where should we begin? The first and the foremost important item is our daily devotional time with the Lord. The first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. Some people call it quiet time. Spending time with Christ before spending time for Him. I remember I became a Christian in 1965. And after about a year and a half, Dick Lucas asked me, Vijay, when do you have your quiet time? I said, quiet time? I don't know what quiet. What's quiet time? It's reading the Bible. Well, I read the Bible all the time. But do you read it in the morning when you get up, a few minutes? Well, I never did it. So I tried. And I found it impossible to do it. I haven't got the time to explain. Now, I don't leave my house now until I spend at least a few minutes with Christ and His Word. I'll tell you why. Because I worked with Lloyd's Register for 27 years up in 71 Fenchurch Street, 1961 to 1988, 27 years. And not once, anybody come in their pyjamas. They didn't say, I'm sorry, I got up late, I didn't have any time, I got my bowler hat, forgive my pyjamas, you know. See, 300 staff, 27 years, 100% effort. You make time. Do you know, if I want to give you a birthday present to Richard, just imagine, and I bought it, I really want to give it, I wrote my name, I wrote his name and covered it up. Now, he won't get it unless I give it to him. See, there's no point in knowing you should have quiet time, knowing it is necessary to have quiet time, having a daily reading all bought and have it in the house, or listening to the tape when you are coming in the car. No. You must spend time with the Lord. And it is a necessity for every Christian. Now, let me give you a tip. Buy a loud alarm clock. And don't put it on your sideboard. Put it on your dressing table, so that you have to get up and switch it out. And then once you switch it off, don't go to bed. Don't hit the bed. 5 minutes, it'll be half an hour. See, urgent things always pushes out important ones. Where's the urgent thing? We should be in the office. What's the important one? I should spend time with Christ. You know, this is a quiet time, not a Bible study. I remember I gave it up after a month because I had the daily notes, Scripture Union, and I used to miss one day, then miss another day. Then after 1 month, I got 1 week to catch up, you know, terrible. Now that's nonsense. If you miss one day, forget it. I'll tell you why. If you forget to brush your teeth today, you won't brush it twice tomorrow, do you? Just as simple as that. And, you know, I remember reading, I'm half asleep in the morning. I wake up, you know, like, and open up. Can you imagine Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Lamentations? He'll get stone dead. He'll never carry on. Come to the Gospels. And the thing that helped me is J.C. Ryle, daily reading. Volume 1 is Matthew, Mark and Luke, and volume 2 is John. I've used it for the last 14 years. It's really helpful on the Gospels. And start with 10 minutes and let it grow. Let it grow. You know, our daily devotional time is not just 10 minutes in the morning, but it begins there and then goes on throughout the day. You know, it means that keeping up a habit of constant, close communion with Christ, to be always leaning on Him, resting on Him, pouring out our heart to Him, using Him as our fountain of life and strength, and our chief companion, the best friend we have. You know, to have His words abiding in us is to keep His sayings and precepts continually before us and our memories and our minds, and to make them the guide of our actions and the rule of our daily conduct and behavior. And Christians of this camp, we are told, shall not pray in vain. That's what J.C. Ryle says. And you got it in your notes, a quotation, stamped it on it. You know, Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ," Philippians 1:21. He had a passion for the person of Christ as distinct from the loyalty to His cause. You know the letters to the Ephesus, first letter in the Revelation, chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, "I know your works." It was a busy church, enduring church, discerning church. They had no wooliness about the church. They knew what they believed, but they were condemned because they abandoned the love they had at first. Abandoned the love they had at first. You know, when our love for Jesus becomes our aim, like Paul said, "For me to live is Christ," then our quiet time becomes a pleasure, not a pressure. A devotion, not duty. A delight, not dreary. It's the quality, not the quantity. It's the relationship, not a ritual. This is where we begin in our prayer life. Begin to learn how to talk to Him. Keep our hearts on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then our second important area is the prayer triplets. Everyone ought to be in our prayer triplets. Why? I'll tell you why. Suppose if I've got a big need, and I can't go to a midweek prayer meeting in the church and tell them, if I feel like killing my wife, getting annoyed with her, I can't go and tell them. They say, "Oh, Vijay, I think the marriage is breaking up." It becomes a gossip. So we need two or three people praying together. And after about a year, you get to know each other so much, you have confidence in each other, you could share with each other. And our needs, and you could say, "Well, I don't feel like reading the Bible, will you help me?" Or, "I've got a 2 million problem in my office." But you can't say that in your church when you do that. But you can do it in the confidence of two or three people. Just 35 minutes once a week. Now let me give you some tip. It's just a general rule. First 5 minutes, praise and thanksgiving. First 5 minutes. Take a psalm or some part of the Bible and pray it in. Then the next 5 minutes, share the needs. And the rest 25 minutes, pray for ourselves, supporting. Pray for non-Christian friends. Now, this is important because otherwise what will happen is 25 minutes of sharing and 1 minute of prayer. That's not right. And it's not like a Billy Graham prayer triplet. Three people, each man has got three non-Christian friends, and they come together and pray, nine people, and after about 3 months nothing happened, it becomes a mechanical ritual. No. That's not prayer triplets. Prayer triplets is supporting one another. And if I can look at my prayer triplets, the first 10 minutes or 5 minutes on praying and thanking God, it's been so fantastic. The rest is a bonus. And be strict in your sharing time. I can remember, if you like Richard and Colin and myself. No, Richard 1 minute, Colin 1 minute. But it comes to me, I can go on and on. I forget myself, you know. So be strict and spend more time in prayer and learn how to pray in a prayer triplet. And every one of you ought to be in a prayer triplet. And the third and last heading is praying together at a prayer meeting. How can we make, in a group we are praying together, how can we make it rich? Now, are you burdened to pray for those who are lost? Are you burdened? If not, ask God. Lord, I'm not burdened to pray. Would you teach me? Would you give me a burden to pray for the people that we meet every day in our office? You know, Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came, even the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was lost. That was God's concern. Now, we live in an instant commodity, isn't it? Instant commodity world. Instant coffee, instant tea, instant pot needle, instant kalyan rice, instant boil, you add boiling water and hey presto, we have instant meal. No way we can be an instant prayer warrior. We have to learn it at the prayer meeting. Just as in swimming and cycling, we have to learn in practice, so also in praying in groups. There's a saying, cabbages grow in 3 months, but oak trees take a long time. But once we understand the principle and practice it, it'll be easier than cycling and swimming. And we would want to do it more than ever in your life. And we could hardly find a book. I've tried to find written on it. So I have gathered all the mistakes I have committed. And I'm going to share with you how to avoid them. And it's not just once read and finished. I have to be conscious of it every time I come to pray. So that we can make our praying together effective, interesting, and exciting. So our first heading is breaking the ice. Breaking the ice. Are you frozen at the mouth at the prayer meetings? If praying at prayer meetings strike terror in your heart, you're not alone. You know, many are afraid to pray in public and avoid it as much as possible. Well, I can't pray like John, you know. Well, Colin knows how to pray well, but I'm not like him. When I open my mouth, nothing seems to come out. And the very thought of praying in public, you know, my mouth goes dry. That used to be me. What did they think? What if I didn't say the right things? Too often, what should be an experience in worship becomes a source of fear and trembling. And dismayed, we remain silent in our prayer meetings. The reason why it is because we fail to understand the very first principle about praying in public. I remember we used to meet here on the first Monday in Dick's room there, and I wanted to pray something, and my heart, you know, the person who's sitting behind me can literally hear my heart beating, you know. This is because we are more often concentrating on what we have to say than the person we are talking to. We are talking horizontally in our prayer. If you're like me, let me give you a simple, helpful tip that opened my eyes. You know, what you do is close your eyes and imagine Jesus is sitting right behind you when two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I with them. And talk to him. Just talk to him. And if we're on a big prayer meeting, I imagine myself, Jesus is the furthest person away from me. And I talk to him so that everybody could hear it. Yes, that's what I want. Now, if you're talking to a friend, you don't have to build every sentence, do you? If I'm talking to Colin, I wouldn't think of tick, 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 then think a few words. No, I just talk to him because I'm more interested in him than worrying about what I'm going to say. And furthermore, if I talk to my wife, as some people pray in the prayer meeting, I would be locked up in the lunatic asylum. Just imagine I go home and she opens the door. My dear wife, whom I married 35 years ago, who have been so good to me, who cooks my meal, what's wrong with this fellow? He's gone out of his mind. See, what God looks in our prayer is sincerity and realism. Just talk to him as you would talk to a friend, a loving father, heavenly king, with reverence, realism, sincerity and humility. You know, just lift your voice so that others can join in the conversation with us. Yes, that's what I want. Yes. Now, don't mumble like a bee. Remember some prayer meeting? Amen. I don't know what you said. You know, you mumble like a bee sometimes. How others can say amen? Amen means yes, that's what we want. Yes, I do agree, Lord. That's what we want. Speak up. Be audible. And there's another thing which I have done many times. You know, we think, we cup your hands and Heavenly Father, and I know that you can't understand a word, can you? If you cup your hands and speak, it's rude in your personal conversation. Lift your head. I've done many times. You know, I sit down and kneel down and think God is there, and I speak like that, right down onto the floor. God is not on the floor. He's sitting with us. I mean, I've done it many times. You know, we wanted to bow down to him. But he's rude in a prayer group to bow down and speak to the floor. And lift your head so that your mouth is in line with the ears of everybody, so they can hear it. Yes. And if you are nervous like me, use one sentence prayer. One sentence. And if you want to be rich in your prayer, take the Bible and look at Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, how Paul prayed. And use one sentence. Not bless somebody and bless somebody else. And if you are nervous, write it down so that you can read it. Get, you know, used to listening to your own voice. I remember when I bowed my head and prayed, is it I'm speaking? You know, when you hear it, it's somebody else speaking. You know, you're a bit nervous. I remember in that room there, in Dick's office, we were all sitting down, about 15 of us, first Monday in the month, and I caught courage and I began to pray, and halfway, I completely lost. I don't know what I was. I said, Lord, I'm tongue-tied. Amen. And I remember Ronald Wilcox came and said, Vijay, that's the best prayer I've heard. Because you're talking to the Father. You're talking to somebody. You know, be realistic. Talk to the Lord. Don't shut him out from your prayer meeting. We are talking to a living God, not to a dumb idol. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and this is the confidence which we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he'll hear us. And if you know that he hears us, in whatever we ask, we know that we obtained the request made of him. And secondly, be conversant. See, we can be greatest chin waggers in the world. But when it comes to prayer meeting, we lose all boldness. Christians come to pray and never pray. Never pray. Prayer is sharing a conversation with God, to our Father, our friend. And this becomes easier if you learn to talk to Jesus during the day. Now just let me give you an example. If I say Colin sitting there, Colin, would you get me a Bible from CLC when you get there? So you say, Colin, I haven't got it. Now will you get me, please? Because I know Colin well. But if I see Peter there, I know him only once or twice. Peter, would you get me a Bible? He said, well, I can't do it. Oh, don't worry. Now, my relationship with Peter and Colin, we are just brothers in Christ. Because I've got a conversational relationship with Colin, It is easier for me to talk to him in the same way where if you share with Christ your daily desires and anxieties and fears, and if you talk to him all the time, it is easier. You just lift your voice and pray. Talk to him when you come to a prayer meeting. So, be a good conversant person with Christ. When you come to a prayer meeting, I heard people ask me, is there anything to pray? Nothing to pray, nothing to pray, nothing to pray. Nothing to pray? You're not concerned with the people who are lost, or you don't know the urgency and the seriousness of the situation. So pray to God, Lord, give me a burden. Thirdly, building together. The quickest way to kill a prayer meeting is the leader to announce 6 items and pray for the whole lot at one go. Stone dead. We've got nothing else to pray. You know, in prayer, we are building together, attacking the enemy together, a united front with many thrusts. And the person who are leading the prayer meeting won't get a pat on the back. We all are in it together. And each of us is involved as much as the other person. And also in a prayer meeting, don't just to hear other people are praying and leading the prayer and say amen. That's passive participation. Be with one mind, said Jesus. And you can't do that if you're only hearing. You know how easy it is. Our mind wanders off if you're, you know, at a prayer meeting, if you're only just hearing. Your body is there, but your mind is gone. You know, I wonder what I'll wear tomorrow. I have to do that job, you know. We're hearing the prayer, but I'm just thinking, you know. You know, that goal, Manchester United score, is fantastic, you know. You're daydreaming. You're hearing at the same time. You're daydreaming. You know, I don't know whether you've got children. I've got 2 boys. Too many, my wife says. I remember when there were schools, they put the radio on. They can't do homework unless the radio is on. You know, background music. Passive participation in the background music and active involvement in the homework. Sometimes in our prayer meeting, you know, passive participation in what is being said and active involvement, what are you going to do tomorrow? You know, you've got the job to do. You know, in our own daydreaming. That's not real united prayer. No wonder we are frozen at the mouth on a prayer meeting. And praying is, you know, in praying that prayer when somebody is praying is the best way that we can carry on when the person is stopped if he has left something out. If they have left something out, you can carry on because we are together in prayer. Get a pencil and paper. Write down when you are in a little group. When people ask items, write it down. Because I never used to do that. And you know what happens? You say one prayer, another prayer, a third prayer. Then I'm not sure whether what has been prayed and what is left. So I keep quiet. But if you've got a little piece of paper there, then you know that's prayed, that is prayed, that is prayed, and that has to be prayed. So, you know, God has given us a hand. God has given us pencil and paper. You know, I can have a cup of coffee there and pray my heart out. The coffee will never come to my lips because he's given me hands to do. So you don't have to depend upon the Holy Spirit to let you know what to pray for. When you've got a pencil and paper, you know, if somebody, a young Christian, comes and asks a request, and then you all pray, except you didn't pray for that person go home, oh, nobody cares for me, you know. So it's good to write it down. But when you write it down, I remember about 8 items to pray, and I'll pray for that. And I'm just about to pray, somebody jumps the gun. And I'll pray for this one. And I'm just about to pray, somebody else jumps the gun. And I should say, The reason why, because I don't understand. You know, when people are praying, the Holy Spirit is putting in the hearts of many people to pray certain things. So if somebody prays something which I wanted to pray, I said, thank you, Lord. You put in 2 people's mind, so you can pray with more confidence and realism and real joy you can pray. We're building together, each of us are part of it in our prayer time. You know, Acts 1:14, all these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer. And Matthew 18:19, again I say to you, if 2 of you agree together on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. by my Father in heaven. Now fourthly, basically short. The maximum duration is 1 minute. And also basically short, because in Matthew chapter 6 verse 7, Jesus said, "In praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." You know, if anyone prays more than 1 minute, my mind begins to wander. And that's why if you look at Anglican College, they're delightfully 1 minute duration. See, they know our mind better. You know, our great-grandfathers knew us much more than we do, you know. So, basically short. And also, if you got short, I mean, if there's something to pray, somebody can pray. And it is lovely, isn't it? So, say Mrs. Curley is in hospital. You can say, "Lord, help Mrs. Curley to trust you. Amen." And somebody can say, "Lord, help the doctors and nurses to know exactly what to do. Amen." And you can make it short, and everybody could join in. And if somebody moved from that subject to something else and you wanted to say, after a minute, you can still come back to the same subject. It doesn't matter. And it helps everyone to take part in a prayer and make it wonderfully rich. You know, nothing kills a prayer meeting. I don't know in your midweek prayer meeting. Always the three saints praying all the time. Give everybody a chance. And it also helps us heaping empty words. And if only three are praying, I remember a friend of mine some years ago said in a prayer meeting, a person was saying, "Lord, take away the cobwebs of my heart. Take away the cobwebs of my heart. And the one day he said, "Lord, kill that spider," from the next man. And it's not my word, somebody else said it. You know, some people can go on and on and on, isn't it? Basically short. I remember, I think it's Wilberforce, when he was not a Christian, he walked into a big meeting, and there was a man was praying and going on and on and on, and the chairman was a bit concerned, so he got up and said, "Let's sing a hymn while our brother finishes lamentations." And he stayed on, and I think Wilberforce became a Christian by staying in that meeting. So make it short, and don't copy other people's prayer unless you make it your own. Otherwise, it'll become a dramatic society. Fifthly, be honest. Psalm 139 verse 4: "Even before a word comes from our lips, God knows it." So don't say, "Lord, thank you." When you, in your heart, you say, "Oh, what a terrible day." I mean, that's hypocrisy, isn't it? Don't say, "At all, I love you," when in your heart you don't love Him. That's pretending. Be honest and tell God, "Lord, I'm not thankful. I'm feeling wretched. Will you give me a thankful heart?" And that's honesty. "Lord, I don't feel like loving you. It's all right for you to have all the glory. What about me? Yes, suffering. Will you help me? And will you pour your love in my heart?" And you ask Him, and He'll pour His love in your heart. And fifthly, sixthly, be there. You know, if you go to a theater show, won't you be there before the curtain goes up? Won't you be there? On time? You know, nothing tragic in a prayer meeting when people comes in late. Everybody's concentrating, you know, and say 20 people sitting down. And one man comes in, everybody's and then all the eyes goes up, tick, 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 tick. Bow down. I mean, it's, you break your unity. I remember a vicar in north of England, in Newcastle. If it's a half past eight prayer meeting, he locks the door at half past eight. If you come at 8:35, it's gone. No, you can't get in. It's locked. Come there on time. You know, nothing tragic if you break the unity. And poor support at prayer times betrays poor spiritual health. A Christian group that does not bother to meet for prayer has not grasped either the importance of prayer or the urgency of the situation it confronts. Let me repeat again. The Christian group that does not bother to meet for prayer has not grasped either the importance of prayer or the urgency of the situation it confronts. No work of God has ever known ever been known to prosper without determined prayer support. So be there, but don't condemn others if they are not there. I remember I was asked to speak, to be in a prayer meeting at Saturday morning. I'd just become a Christian in St. Peter's Harlewood. I joined them. And when I got there, there were five people there. Ray Wheeler, Alan Botham, Robbie Robinson, Alan Clark, and myself. Where's everybody? 400 in the congregation, five people. And you know what happened? I became critical. Instead of saying, thank you, Lord. Five of us, we got a quorum. See, some mothers have to get up and look after the children. Husband may have to work on Sunday morning. That's not our problem. See, two is a quorum. So get your attitude right. And be there for what? Not to give church notices. Never use your prayer as a means of telling your friends the news. Because then you shift your concern. If you've got something that you haven't mentioned it, and you're praying, just stop and say, look, oh, by the way, I wanted to say something. Would you pray for certain things? And you give them what notice is, and then you pray. Then you can together pray. Don't give church notices. And then not to preach. Many a time I've prayed, and my friend next to me, I hope I heard it. I hope he heard it. I have been preaching to him, not talking to the Lord. So not to preach, and not to pray for yourself. It is better if you don't do it. I mean, there's no harm, but it's better. See, if I've got to go for an interview tomorrow, if I say, well, I've got to go, Lord, I have to go for an interview. Well, my friends don't have to go for an interview. So they can't be united. So stop and say, well, I've got an interview tomorrow. Will somebody pray? And say, well, Vijay has got an interview. Are we together? Yes, amen. Yes, please help him, Lord. You can be together. So it's better not to use first person singular language. And seventh, by faith. Faith is confidence in God. It depends on His character than our ability to have it. Just imagine if I asked Richard Coombs to come, well, I'm going to take you for a meal on Friday evening, if you get all dolled up, and if I didn't turn up, and if I did that about three times, he wouldn't have much faith in me, would he? And his faith in me doesn't depend upon his ability to believe, but my ability to fulfill what I promised. See, our faith is in God's promises. In Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. And whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who seek Him. Come to God not with blind faith, but with real confidence. You know the story of three Humpty Dumpties? Fact, faith, and feeling. They're walking along. As long as the faith was looking at facts, it was all right. But when he turned to look at the feeling, it fell down and broke his head, and all the kings in the world couldn't put the Humpty Dumpty together again. You know the story. You know, my time is up nearly. Suppose if somebody, I was coming out of St. Helens, and you come to me and say, oh, by the way, Vijay, one of my friends had an accident. He's from India. Would you come and talk to him in Guy's Hospital? He's there, seriously ill. Now, I don't have to phone my wife. I can come with you, talk to the person till 11 o'clock, and go home. My wife would be fast asleep. She would have had their meal. I don't have to force myself to think, well, my wife would do it. No, because she's done it all the time. See, I don't have to force myself. So, pray within your faith. Little things God helps us, gives us confidence in praying for greater things. Don't stretch your faith. I don't, in general, pray for something which I know that God will not give. And finally, be conscious. Well, you can look at it in your notes. I've only got 2 minutes, so let me conclude. We must not pray to display our goodness, but to share our needs. Let's look at the Pharisee. He prayed with have a big impression on people. Gave a long list of qualities. He didn't want anything. He was too proud. He wanted to impress his superiority on the tax collector. While the tax collector was completely opposite. He was in need. He wanted something from God, and he knew he didn't even deserve it. When we pray in groups, let us be conscious of sharing our needs with God, rather than trying to impress those at the prayer meeting with our prayers. Also, let us be conscious of telling God the needs of others rather than worrying whether we said it right. When we are conscious of the above, we will realize that we don't need any special skill to pray in a prayer meeting. Be conscious of God's promises. For this, you'll have to know them and be familiar with them. And let me leave you with three golden rules. Three golden rules. Be short. Be audible. Don't worry about your grammar. Let's pray. My time is up. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know everything about us. Nothing hidden from you. Teach us to pray. Lord, take our minds and think through them. Help us to understand and obey your words. Take our lips and teach us to pray effectively, sincerely, with reverence to you. Take our hearts and set them on fire for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And take our wills and capture them in obedience to your word. May be effective servant of yours. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.